This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com.
When it comes to displays and digital signage, just about all the attention goes to screens that have steadily grown bigger, skinnier, or brighter. Not a lot of time has been spent on small screens, but there's a real and growing market demand for displays in places like retail that don't eat up all the merchandising space and better suit the store environment. While the vast majority of display manufacturers have been fighting it out based on large displays, MIMO Monitors has, since 2008, been focused on small displays. Their sweet spot is a 10-inch tablet-sized screen that will actually survive in commercial environments, unlike consumer tablets. I had a brief chat with MIMO's president, David Anderson, at Infocom, and we followed that up the other day with a proper podcast chat. David, thanks for joining me. Can you tell me, first of all, what MIMO is all about?
Yeah, certainly, Dave. Thanks for having me on to begin with. So MIMO Monitors, it does not offend me to say this. We are a niche in the display business. We are unique in that we focus on the small side of displays. So the way I think of it is, you know, you've got billboards and then you've got, the big screen guys. And then you've got the guys that kind of do the, 21 to 30 inch desktop size. And what we do is we slot in below that. So everything we do is currently 7 to 21.5 inches.
And that's a niche that's been around for a while. And I think it kind of started with digital photo frames and companies saying, hey, we've got these digital photo frames, but they've got a player on them that could play a sequence of photos or maybe even video on there. That didn't really go anywhere. I'm sure you can tell me more about the rise of iPads and Android tablets and so on and how that was going to be the answer. And then people realized, well, that doesn't actually work. So you have found this niche, and is it primarily in retail, at least in the context of digital signage?
In the context of digital signage, yes, it's mostly retail. Actually, our largest vertical today is conference rooms, although that's driven a lot.
Oh, really?
That's driven a lot by our collaboration with Google and the fact that we're included in the box with the Google Hangouts Meet kit, as well as a kit from Logitech. So that's been kind of our growth recently.
Okay.
But our previous largest vertical prior to Google was digital signage, and it is our second largest vertical. So, yeah, I mean, where, you know, retail went or where retail is, I suppose, is still using things like iPads and things like that. The big issue there, one, is they're not intended for the purpose, right? They're not intended to be plugged in 24/7. They weren't really intended to be, you know, permanently mounted in places, so they don't have things like, you know, Visa mounts on the back and stuff like that. Although the biggest thing that we see is the fact that their batteries fail pretty regularly because they're being charged all the time. So,
And they can fail pretty spectacularly too, can't they?
We've all have seen videos of how lithium ion batteries can fail spectacularly. I have not seen it happen in retail, but it could, yes.
Huh.
So
it's just not a product that's built for 24/7 or even 16/7 use.
It's not. It's a consumer product, and that's what it was. That was what it was intended for. Our products, at least our Android products, are, you know, built for commercial use. They're built for 24/7. They come with a 3-year warranty. You know, they have Visa mounts on the back. They're available with wired Ethernet, with PoE, power over Ethernet. So a lot of features that these guys are looking for. The other thing that's really important is that when we design something, we design for a 5-year lifetime. And so, and retail deployments, a lot of deployments, but retail deployments in particular, take 18, 24 months or longer. And if you're basing that on, you know, your latest Apple or your latest Samsung tablet, the problem is that the hardware will have changed two or three times while you're trying to, you know, deploy the thing. And that doesn't happen with MIMO products.
And what's going to happen with that is the mount is no longer suitable. The enclosure may not fit with the new devices and the operating systems are kind of rolling, correct?
That's correct. Yep. So, you know, we update our operating systems for security patches and those kinds of things, but we still have customers that buy Android 4.4 and because that's what they, you know, that's what they qualified. That's what's running out there. And, you know, we still support it.
Mm-hmm. You have extended desktop monitors that just run on USB. Is that the primary way that your monitors work, or is it different with the digital signage stuff because you were talking about PoE?
In digital signage, the vast majority of what we sell into digital signage are actually what either would be called a tablet or an all-in-one, depending on your, you know, favorite phrase.
Right? Sure.
So we do sell monitors. We sell USB monitors. That's how we got started. That was mm-hmm. MIMO's first product. Now, most of our monitors are available in HDMI as well. You know, it's obviously a much more ubiquitous interface. But more recently, we've been getting into designing all-in-ones, being that, you know, an Android built in. And now we've recently announced our partnership with BrightSign, which is, you mm-hmm. know, a different version of a digital signage all-in-one, right?
And is there a sweet spot, particularly when it comes to retail in terms of size?
Well, it really depends on what it's being used for. I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about small size. Obviously, there's lots there's lots of the big stuff out there, and I can't talk intelligently about whether people prefer 55s or 80s. But mm-hmm. when it comes to what we do, 10.1 is by far our best seller. And that's because it's large enough to draw people in. You know, we were talking about the tablet world, but, you know, thanks to Apple, 10 inches is something that people are very familiar with. They're comfortable with interacting with. In fact, they expect it to be interactive. But it's small enough that it doesn't take up a bunch of shelf space. You know, it's easy to mount onto an end cap or things like that. And then our next size is, for digital signage anyway, is 15.6. So that's kind of where most of it is that we sell.
Has it helped with the rise of tablets, consumer tablets, with the production volumes that are out there for 10.1 inch LCDs? Has that made it a lot easier to market a product because there's just so much volume and therefore the prices are pretty good?
You know, I've never really thought about it that way. I mean, 10 inch has been around for quite some time, so I've never.
But it used to be a niche product. I used to put 10 inch screens in elevators, and that was almost 20 years ago, and they were insanely expensive. And even 10 years later, they were still insanely expensive because there weren't a lot of people making them at that size. And then tablets came along, and then all of a sudden they were being manufactured by the millions.
Yeah, I mean, that might be true. MIMO was founded in 2008, about the time when tablets happened. So I don't have experience with you know, 10-inch being extremely expensive. You know, the thing about the LCD market that is kind of funny is if you can buy a big screen for a certain amount and 10 inches is, you know, say 1/10 the size, then people expect to pay 1/10 the cost. But that's not kind of how it works, you know.
Yeah, I've had to explain that a few times.
So,
and black and white is not cheaper. Like e-ink is not cheaper because there's fewer colors.
Right, exactly. So, but yeah, I mean, I've never really thought about it from an affordability perspective. You know, what we pay for a 10-inch LCD is actually more than what we would pay for a 23-inch LCD, mainly because there's just so much volume in that desktop space.
Really, still, and that would be for monitors?
Yeah, it's not a place that we compete in, but, you know, obviously we keep our eye out on pricing and things like that. And yeah, that 23 to 26 inch size, which is the sweet spot for desktop these days, you know, those LCDs are very, very inexpensive. So
right. In terms of the journey, so to speak, of the company and trying to sell into the digital signage space, I'm guessing that for the longest time, end users have wanted bigger, and you would see sporting goods stores and mass merch stores all screened out with, you know, 40-inch or 50-inch screens all over the damn place. And the idea that you would put small screens in just didn't make any sense to them. But it strikes me as in the last, let's say, 2-3 years, there seems to be a realization that, hey, screens everywhere is not the thing, and you want to get them down at the one-to-one level for consumers where they're actually going to make a decision and maybe interact with the things.
Yeah, well, that's certainly reflective of what we've seen as well. And our growth has been, you know, the last few years, things have really gotten very good. And I, you know, the big screens above your head, they're still there, but there's only so many places you can put something that's, you know, 80 inches or 60 inches. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is they're not interactive. So, you know, they are feeding whatever information they were designed to feed. But if that's not interesting to you, then it's a wasted opportunity, right? And what we've seen for retail is almost all of them are interactive. You know, they're intended that way. They're in the sporting goods store in the baseball aisle, but they're there to help the consumer make a choice. I mean, if you've ever been in a sporting goods store, you'll find that you can buy a baseball bat for $10, or you can spend $400 or $500, and why somebody would choose one over the other, what's better, what you're going to get when you're spending that kind of money on a bat. That, you know, that's all information that that is interesting for the consumer.
And does form factor matter there? I mean, I you know, to use the sporting goods example again, I have walked into large sporting goods retailers and they've had like 40-inch displays in portrait mode mounted on a support column or something, and a big icon on there saying, touch me here, or touch this to start or whatever. And I never see anybody using it. And I wonder whether, because we're all used to tablets and smartphones, that a smaller form factor seems more intuitive and more logical. That's what I would use to interact.
It actually matters quite a lot. Yes. I mean, I don't know that Apple deserves all the credit, but certainly people are used to that 10-inch, you know, or so size to interact with. You know, big screens have their place. It's great to consume content on a 40-inch screen. It's awkward to interact with content on a 40-inch screen, though, because, you know, the buttons, obviously it would depend on the user interface you design, but if you just kind of blow the interface up from a 10-inch screen to 40 inches, then the buttons are feet wide and you're moving your entire arms around to interact with the thing. And more importantly, it isn't private, which matters quite a bit, actually. You know, what you might be interested, you might not want to broadcast to everyone in the store what you're interested in, what or what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. So whereas, you know, a smaller display is much more personal, it's much more interactive, it feeds you the same information. But and of course, because they're relatively inexpensive, if it's necessary, it's easy to put 2 or 3 or 4 kiosks in the same space that you could put one 40-inch screen, right?
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
This decision to go to all-in-one devices, is that largely market-driven? Is that just what's happening out there, that you're seeing smart system on chip displays and you're seeing BrightSign being integrated in a bunch of stuff and idea boxes and so on? And I've talked to guys who sell PCs for the signage market and who said, you know what, I need to get out of this because I just don't see a future.
Yeah, that's certainly what we've seen. I mean, a few years ago, it was displays connected to PCs, and certainly I have, you know, friends in the PC business that have just seen the kind of thing completely, you know, dry up. Everything's going to embedded processing, you know, Android in our case, although they're some people who still do things on Windows or prefer things like Linux, but by far our user base is mostly Android these days. But yeah, I mean, there really, I think, no need for the high-end processing power of a PC. You're interacting with content. You're maybe playing some videos. You're rendering some stuff from a website, and an inexpensive ARM processor can do that perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding your end user partners that they're happy now with the state of Android? I've written quite a bit about Android, and over the years, I've got a sense that people are increasingly happy that the stability is there and it's not this moving target that it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is familiar with Android. It's ubiquitous. The user base is generally happy with it. And now there's a bunch of, third-party tools to fill in some of the holes. You look at Android over a PC. Android is a little harder to remotely manage as a standalone piece. And so, third parties have gone in to, fill that space. You've got some of the security questions, but so long as we can still roll out security patches and things like that, then it seems to be a relatively accepted piece.
Right.
I've been hearing, we don't have the product yet, but I've been hearing a lot of people who want to switch over to Chrome because of the, because Chrome is secure and can easily be remotely managed. It's built right into the operating system.
Yeah, supposedly they're kind of intertwined now, and you can take an Android application and convert it over to Chrome. It'll run seamlessly. I doubt that it's quite that simple, but getting there.
We're in the process of figuring that out ourselves. So,
and I would assume, given that you're working with Chrome on or with Google on Hangouts and so on, that they would love if you were supporting Chrome OS.
Yes, actually, that's we're working through the business case now, and then hopefully we'll have a product in the next 6 months based on Chrome.
Mm-hmm. We chatted briefly at Infocom, and I think you were telling me the size of the business you were doing. Like, you were shipping a lot of devices now, right?
Well, I suppose it all depends on what the number is of a lot. we're no Apple, but we're certainly comfortable. I mean, the big thing has been our growth. So, the week before, we passed through 2017's revenue. And so we'll probably approximately double this year. We approximately doubled last year. We approximately doubled the year before that. So that's been kind of our trajectory I think the market is, recognizing two things, recognizing the brand and the quality of MIMO, but also the need for, small or interactive displays. So.
And there's not a lot of choices out there. I guess that certainly helps. I mean, quality is paramount. But if somebody asked me top of mind, I'm looking for a small display, who would I talk to? It would be a very short list.
For people or for companies that do what we do, live in our space, it is a very small list, right? And the vast majority of our competition are, white box guys that you've never heard of out of China, right?
Right.
They have their advantages, price, but that's about it. You run the risk of, not knowing what it is that you're going to get. But if you look at our larger competitors, if you look at, say, LG, just to throw it out there, LG is a wide range supplier. They make a 10-inch product. If it works for you, great. But if it doesn't, then you have a 10-inch product. Whereas if you look at what we do, honestly, I don't even know what the numbers are, but we probably make 10-inch, if you include displays and all-in-ones and bright signs all together, we probably make 15, maybe 18 different variants of a 10-inch display. Mm. And we make at least that many different variants of a 7-inch display. And, whether they're complete or open frame or with HDMI or run Android or bright sign or all the different variants that we make. And so that's the difference is, you know, more than likely we have what you want. And if not, you know, we're small enough that we're interested in custom product, but large enough that we can manufacture it and build it and afford to take some risks as well.
Yeah. And you have a monster company like a Samsung that had a 10-inch display, and I'm sure they endlessly got questions saying, this is great, but does it do this, or could you add this, and so on and so on. And they're just that size of company just can't really react that way, can they?
Yeah. So, you know, if what Samsung is offering you works, you know, off the shelf and what it is that you're doing, then it's fine. If you need some extra features, or, you know, for that matter, want it in a different color or put your own logo on it or all the things that we do here, you know, that's going to be tough to do with Samsung or LG.
Mm-hmm. MIMO itself, that started in 2008. It's a private company?
It is a private company, yes. So it was founded in 2008, actually, with USB display. Its first product was a 7-inch USB display. And we actually...
And what was the idea of that?
So the idea was... So the original idea of MIMO, and for those people who don't know, MIMO stands for mini monitor.
Like me.
So, and the original product was a portable 7-inch USB. And the thought was that... At the time that it was founded, 2008, people were starting to really get into multiple screens on your desktop, right? But there wasn't anything that was portable. So if you were on the road, you only worked with the screen that was on your laptop. And so, you know, we started out as a portable screen for road warriors. That was the first product. For better or worse, the B2B digital signage kind of world was not where we started. And that market actually still exists for us, but it kind of got, you know, for all the things we've said about Apple and Samsung, they kind of killed that market for us, because people are bringing, at the time, people had their smartphones, or smartphones had just really gotten started in that time, but the tablet world didn't exist yet. And so people weren't bringing with them their, you know, the road warriors didn't have their laptop and their e-reader and their tablet and their smartphone and their this and their that. So, you know, one 7-inch portable display in your briefcase was a market we could go after. And that market kind of, for better or worse, disappeared. We've had a few markets disappear on us.
But you're growing.
You know, that happens to every business. You gotta, you know, adjust. If something happens in your market, you have to adjust, right?
Sure. Is private company?
Yes. Yep.
And where are you based?
So we have two main facilities. So the company was founded in Princeton, New Jersey. That's where most of our customer service and warehouse is. And then our second large office is in Libertyville, north of Chicago, Illinois. And then, so this is a little bit of everything here. So we've got sales and engineering and administrative staff here.
Okay. And how large is the company now in terms of headcount?
Well, if you don't include our manufacturing facility in Korea, because it's actually it's a separate business. If you don't include that, we've got 22 in the U.S., then one in Europe. And then the other unique thing about MIMO is we have our own manufacturing based in Korea, South Korea.
So you own it. It's not just a contract manufacturing line.
Well, let's just say it's complicated. Legally, they are an ODM, but they're an ODM that has only one customer. So they're an extension of what it is that we do.
Ah, okay. So that's what the lawyers and other people said you needed to do to make it work.
Well, to be perfectly honest about it, it's extremely complicated for a small business. Well, actually, for any business to own foreign entities. And, you know, when we started that way back when, we were only a couple of person company. And so therefore, we didn't want to deal with the complexity of, you know, foreign reporting and all those kinds of things. So it was the easy way to deal with that. It's different today, but that, you know, it works as it does.
One of the things that you were showing at the Infocom booth, you had a partnership with a company called Tanvis, which I recently did a podcast with. And they have this very interesting technology that's haptic-based, so you can kind of feel what you're touching. Do you see that as a big growth area? And in terms of what's being used for touch interfaces on your displays. Is it mostly simple touch, or is there a need for multi-touch?
Most of it is single touch stuff. I mean, almost everything we do, 95%, if not more, of what we do is you know, multi-touch capacitive, just like your smartphone or your tablet, right? So we support things like pinch to zoom and things like that, and mostly because that's what people are used to. But you know, if you're looking at the interactive signage that most people are designing for our tablets, it's almost all entirely single touch stuff. Now, to get back to Tanvis, yeah, we were introduced to Tanvis probably 4 months ago, coming out of DSE shortly thereafter, in that window between DSE and Infocom for our industry was when we were introduced to Tanvis. And boy, it's just a really cool technology. It's nothing that I've ever experienced before. I think we've all had some experiences with the, you know, vibration haptics, but it's really one of those technologies that you just have to experience. It's really hard to, you can't really describe the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you see much of an adoption curve for that in traditional signage?
Well, it's, you know, I guess we're going to find out. You know, we're the first display manufacturer to integrate their technology into a product. We're not quite there yet. We don't have a product. We expect it this year. We're in, you know, prototype stages and things like that. You know, we obviously believe in the market. We believe that there's a place for this in the market, mainly because it's unique, trying to get people to interact with digital signage, give them experience that they haven't had before, give them information that they couldn't otherwise get. That's why it's all very interesting. It's obviously a very unique product. And one thing that we like to do here at MIMO, for those of you who don't know, I am an engineer, so I like, you know, engineering cool stuff. This is certainly cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, exactly how the market will go, you know, I guess this is one of the places where we're big enough to roll the dice and kind of see what happens. We believe in it.
Yeah, just be a bit of a learning curve, not only for your customers, but also for the folks who are your resellers and your direct sales people, that they got to explain it.
Well, and to be perfectly honest, the people who are going to do the developing, right? If you want to have an engaging experience, then that's more than visuals. Now people have to learn how to create haptics that are engaging as well. So, you know, there's learning curves all around. You know, I'd love to be wrong about this. I don't think it's one of those things that is, you know, going to go viral on day one. I think it's going to take time to, as you say, educate everyone. But, you know, we're invested in it for the long term.
Mm-hmm. So last question, what's up with you guys over the next 6 to 12 months? What should your existing customers and new customers be looking for?
Well, I mean, with the two partnerships that we announced at Infocom with Tanvis and with BrightSign, those pretty much have our roadmap pretty full over the next, you know, 6 months or so. So it's releasing various sizes for BrightSign and then getting the, you know, first product, which will be 10 inches for the Tanvis, ready and released. And then we're also working on our next generation of our tablet product. So that's got us pretty busy right now.
Okay. All right, David, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Dave.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.